Second Sight by R.D. Wingfield. With Michael Burlington as Detective Inspector Ford and Lee Harrington as Marlowe.
Melford Police. Huh? Well, keep looking. You must find him. The superintendent's going berserk. And I don't want excuses. Hold on. Inspector Ford.
Yeah?
That's all right. Forget it. I found him.
You want me, Sergeant?
Want you? Now, where the hell have you been? We've had the search parties out.
I popped home for a few minutes. I wanted to see how my wife was.
Ah, you pregnant fathers. And it wasn't a few minutes. It was over an hour.
Sorry, Sarge. Abject apologies. Here, have a cigar in anticipation of the happy event. I should have told you I was going. I kept getting this niggling feeling something was going to go wrong.
Well, something has gone wrong. There was a break-in at Lord Crombie's. The superintendent's been on three times asking where the hell you were.
Oh.
And there's a bloke waiting to see you in your office.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, who is he?
He says his name's Marlowe.
Never heard of him. Who's covering the Crombie robbery?
Well, as you weren't here, his lordship had to be satisfied with a mere detective sergeant. I sent young Clark.
Oh, well, for a sergeant, he's capable.
And he doesn't sneak home every 5 minutes to see his wife.
Hmm.
Yeah, the superintendent wants you to phone him right away.
I'll do it from my office. What did you say this bloke's name was?
Marlowe. Oh, by the way, he's a clairvoyant.
What?
I tried to get rid of him, Harry, but he insisted on waiting for you. He says he's got some vital information.
Just what I need. Flaming spirit messages. Mr. Marlowe?
Yes?
I'm Detective Inspector Ford. Sorry you've been kept waiting. I had to go out for an important case. I'm a bit pushed for time, I'm afraid.
This won't take long, Inspector. I believe I am in a position to help you.
You'll any help from members of the public gratefully received, Mr. Marlowe? Cigarette?
I don't, thank you.
Oh, very wise, sir. Are you usually out this late? It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, my information couldn't wait. I'm a clairvoyant, Inspector.
So I understand, sir.
I have the gift of second sight. I've helped the police before.
Oh, I can't recall that, sir.
Oh, not here. Your colleagues at Northfields. I used to live there. A young girl was missing. I told them where to look.
Very interesting, Mr. Marlowe. As far as I can recall, we've got no young girls missing in Melford at the moment. But when we do, they found the girl, I suppose.
She was exactly where I said she would be.
And how did you know where they should look?
I can't explain. Some sixth sense, an inner voice. I just knew. Just as I know I can help you with a case you're working on.
Oh, what case is this? Excuse me. I must phone my superintendent. Carry on, I'm listening.
It's a case involving goods valued at many thousands of pounds.
Come on, super. Wakey, wakey. What goods are we talking about, sir? Electronic gear?
No. Precious metals. Gold. Silver. Very valuable.
Yeah,
all in a black plastic bag.
That's no good. He's not going to answer. Oh, precious metals, eh? Not one of my cases, I'm afraid, Mr. Marlowe. You've got the wrong chap.
There's no mistake. It's your case. You're working on it now. And I can help you.
By clairvoyancy?
Yes.
Well, the old sixth sense has misfired this time, sir. But if ever I am working on a case involving gold, silver and black plastic bags, you'll be the first man I'll call in. Now, if you'll excuse me...
You don't believe me, do you? You think I'm a crank?
Of course not, sir. Do you mind knocking? Oh, Superintendent Skinner.
Yes, it's me, Ford. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise you had someone with you.
It's all right, Superintendent. The gentleman is just going. Thank you once again for your cooperation, Mr.
You'll be back to me, Inspector. Before the night's out, you'll be back to me.
Beware the Ides of March.
Who on earth was that?
A nutcase, I'm afraid, sir. I did try to phone you. Couldn't get any answer.
I got fed up waiting.
A personal matter, sir.
If it's a personal matter, I'm not interested. In my division, Ford, you do not become involved in personal matters during duty hours. Do you understand?
Perfectly, sir.
Now, what do you know about this break-in at Lord Crombie's?
Very little.
Not surprising, since you were unavailable when it happened. Lord Crombie phoned me. Woke me from the first good night's sleep I've had for ages to complain about Detective Sergeant Clark.
He's a very experienced officer.
But he's only a sergeant. Lord Crombie is insisting that we send a more senior officer.
As befits his own exalted status.
Exactly. So I'm putting you in charge. Get over there and take over.
Yes?
Lord Crombie, I'm Detective Inspector Ford.
Oh, about time. Come in. Feet?
Yes, sir.
You're taking over from this other fellow, I understand.
In accordance with your wishes, sir, yes. Where is Sergeant Clark?
In here.
Hello, Sergeant.
Inspector Ford?
I'd like a few words with the sergeant on my own, if you'd be so kind, my lord.
Very well, but make it quick. I'll be in my study at the end of the passage when you want me.
Thank you, sir. Most gracious. Been giving you a hard time, has he, son?
He's not been exactly over-cooperative.
I can imagine. Cigarette?
Please.
No, better still, in view of the eminence of our recently robbed host, have a cigar.
What? Thank you.
Yeah, when the baby's born, remind me you've had yours.
I won't forget, sir.
I'm afraid I'm taking over the investigation from you, Sergeant.
What?
That's no reflection on you, but his lordship considers his exalted station merits someone much grander than a mere sergeant. The chief constable wasn't well, so they sent me.
I see.
No, you don't, son, but there you are. There's no justice. Tell me what you've got.
The robbery took place here, sir, in the library. Lord Crombie sleeps directly above. About 11:30, he was woken by the sound of breaking glass. The intruders knocked over that crystal decanter.
Damn clumsy of them. How did they get in?
The window. Cut a hole in the glass and forced the catch.
Ah, yes. Neatly done. Looks almost professional. Carry on.
Lord Crombie came down to investigate with a shotgun.
A shotgun? What is this going to be? Shoot out at OK Corral? Well, has he got a license for it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, pity. Go on.
They must have heard him, because as he came through the door, they were out through that window and across the lawn. He followed them.
How many of them were there?
Two men. He fired a warning shot over their heads. They stopped as if they were going to give up, but as soon as he was near them, one of them jumped him and coshed him. Knocked him out cold. When he came to, they'd gone.
Logical. They'd hardly hang about.
His lordship then staggered back to the house and phoned us.
If he had phoned us first, instead of indulging in the Errol Flynn stuff, we might have caught them.
We got the call at 11:46. I arrived shortly after.
He doesn't look like a man who's been coshed to me. Has the doctor seen him?
He won't have a doctor.
Knocked out cold and won't have a doctor. I find that interesting. Did you examine his head to make certain he had been coshed?
No, sir, but why should he lie?
Well, even noble lords have been known to fake the odd robbery for the sake of the insurance money.
Surely you don't
think... just a possibility, my son. Yeah, what was taken?
I've got the list here, sir. Some very valuable items from the Crombie family collection. Gold, silver...
Gold? Silver? Do we know what they carried it off in?
A black plastic bag.
Good Lord. Do you believe in second sight, Sergeant?
I'm not sure I know what it is, sir.
We had a nutcase in the station tonight, although he doesn't seem such a nutcase now. A clairvoyant. He dropped a few hints about gold and silver. After we leave here, we'll pay him a visit. Do the servants hear anything?
There's only two servants, husband and wife. Lord Crombie had given them a few days off to visit relatives in Birmingham.
This case gets more interesting every minute. No fingerprints, the servants conveniently away, and a lump on a noble cranium that may not exist. And what's the value of the stuff they're supposed to have got away with?
£25,000.
You made me jump, my lord. I didn't hear you knock.
I'm not in the habit of knocking at doors in my own house. How much longer are you going to be?
Almost finished.
I should hope so. You won't catch them by staying here.
You've got a burglar alarm. Why didn't it go off?
I've already told your sergeant. I stupidly forgot to set it. The servants usually do it, but they were away.
It was the burglar's lucky night then, wasn't it? I take it you're insured.
Of course.
I see. Can you give a description of these two men?
As I've already told your sergeant, they were in their mid-20s, medium build, longish hair, dark clothes.
And that's the best description you can give us?
If I could give better, I would.
Oh, of course you would, sir. Would you recognise them if you saw them again?
I don't know. It all happened so quickly. Oh.
Oh, head still sore, sir. Let me take a look. I know a bit about first aid. Yes, there is a bump there.
You sound surprised.
Do I, sir?
So, when am I going to get my valuables back?
Difficult question, my lord. We haven't got much to go on, have we? No fingerprints. Very poor description.
Perhaps I should have got their names and addresses.
It would have helped, sir. But even if we do fail, you'll get the insurance money.
I don't like that insinuation, Inspector.
Insinuation, sir? I don't know what you mean.
Come in the lounge, Inspector. I've kept the fire going.
Thank you, Mr. Marlowe. It's freezing out. You keep very late hours, don't you? It's nearly 3 o'clock in the morning.
I could say the same thing about you.
I'm working. I'm on a case.
I know. And I knew you'd be calling. That's why I've kept the fire going. I've been waiting for you.
Oh?
It's a robbery, isn't it? Items of precious metal. I told you about it earlier. You scoffed.
Then make me eat humble pie, sir. You said you could help me.
Not far from here, Inspector. I see the picture clearly in my mind. In a black, shiny bag. Buried. I can take you there.
Sergeant Jarvis?
Sir?
Is Inspector Ford in yet?
No, sir. I've been ringing his home. No reply.
This really is too bad. It's nearly midday.
Yes, sir. Did you know we recovered all the property stolen from Lord Crombie, sir?
Yes, I've heard. But not from Inspector Ford. Find him.
I want him.
Yes, sir. Constable, phone Mr. Ford's home again. No, forget it. Here he is.
Morning, all.
Morning? We're about to have our dinner. Mr. Skinner's been screaming for you.
And when I'm here, he ignores me. I've been stuck at the hospital since 4 o'clock.
Oh, congratulations. What is it, a boy or a girl?
It's two broken ribs.
What?
I told you I had this premonition something was going to go wrong. When I staggered in this morning, I found her at the bottom of the stairs. She had tripped and fallen.
Oh, no.
And I dashed her off to the hospital. She's pretty badly shaken, but they don't think it's harmed the baby.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Oh, yeah. Especially as I've already handed out half the cigar.
Gossipy, Inspector. Do you think you might spare me a minute in here?
Sit down.
Sir?
You're late.
I'm sorry, sir. Another personal matter.
There have been far too many personal matters, Inspector. And do try and smarten yourself up. That suit looks as if you slept in it.
I did sleep in it, sir. I've been at the hospital since 4 o'clock this morning. My wife had an accident.
Oh. Then why didn't you say so? What happened?
She tripped and fell down the stairs.
Any bones broken?
A couple of ribs. She's very shaken, though.
Oh, well, it doesn't sound too serious.
She does happen to be 9 months pregnant, sir.
Pregnant? And you've never thought to tell me?
With respect, Superintendent, when you took over this division last month, the point you made abundantly clear was that you weren't interested in our private lives. Only our professional ones.
But there are exceptions. Now, what sort of a fool does this make me look? You should have had the decency to tell me I'm not unapproachable. At least, I hope I'm not. Well, if I have been, I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry you weren't informed earlier, sir. I haven't got a cigar on me. Oh, by the way, you've heard we recovered Lord Crombie's goodies.
Yes. I understand a clairvoyant was involved.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, sir. That chap in my office last night. He went into a trance and led us straight to the loot. Buried near an old log by Doggett's farm.
Hmm.
I echo your sentiments, sir. I'm not a believer in second sight.
Damn mumbo-jumbo. Pity we couldn't have recovered the stuff without it. If the press ever get hold of the story...
Now, I've warned him to keep his mouth shut, sir. See, whoever buried the stuff has got to come back for it. Young PC Kilburn is keeping the place under observation, waiting for them.
Good. I'll keep you informed.
Come in.
Lord Crombie's with me, sir. He's just going.
Oh, come in, my lord. You identified the stuff, sir? All there, is it?
Yes, thank you. When can I have it back?
Forensic finished with it, Sergeant?
Not yet. There's a couple of fingerprints they can't account for. They're running a check now.
Another couple of days then, sir. Don't worry, we'll look after it. Most of the staff are honest. And thank you for coming down. Is there anything else, sir?
Naive of me, perhaps, but I was expecting to be offered an apology.
Oh, now what have you done, Sergeant?
You know to what I'm referring.
No disrespect, my lord, but until we've caught those responsible, I prefer to keep all my options open.
Then see you catch them quickly.
My guess is someone's upset him.
Did you check on the all-seeing Mr. Marlowe?
He's lived in the village for 3 years. Locals consider him to be a harmless crank.
They say the same about me.
What about this missing girl he helped find in Northfield?
I've been on to Northfield CID. He told them where to look. They looked, and they found her. He'd given them plenty of tips on other cases, but this was the only one that led anywhere.
I still think he's a fake.
There are genuine clairvoyants, sir.
If there are, I've yet to meet one.
Daddy, trouble.
I've got all the trouble I can handle, thanks. Try next door.
P.C. Kilburn has radioed through. He's been staked out waiting for the crooks to return for the Crombie loot.
And has anyone turned up?
Anyone? Everyone's flaming turned up. He says the place is swarming with reporters. There's even a TV crew.
A TV crew? Yes. What? No comment. That was the Melford Gazette. Marlowe's held a press conference. Clairvoyance second sight leads baffled police to buried treasure.
I'm sorry the room's in such a mess, Inspector. I must open the window.
Yes. Reporters do tend to smoke a lot, don't they, Mr. Marlowe?
Heard about my press conference, then.
Yes, sir. Did I, or did I not, specifically ask you not to tell anyone?
What harm can it do? Publicity's good for the cause.
I've had a man staked out there half the night, waiting for the crooks to come back for the loot so we could grab them. But now you've blown the whole story to the press, so we don't stand a snowball's chance in hell.
I'm sorry, I didn't realise.
You're not that stupid, Mr. Marlowe. Of course you realised. It was all done for the publicity, wasn't it? The whole damn thing faked for the publicity.
How dare you?
Well, it'll go on ringing until you answer it.
Well, it could be private.
Then I'll try not to listen.
Oh. Yes. Oh, speaking. Oh, you heard the broadcast then. Thank you. A private sitting. Well, my fee is £75 for the initial consultation, and then £50 for subsequent sittings. Yes, yes, I'll take a check with a check card. See you then.
£75. You're going to do all right out of this, aren't you, Mr. Marlowe?
You make money out of being a professional policeman. I am a professional clairvoyant.
Don't compare your profession with mine, Mr. Marlowe. I looked up the word clairvoyance in my dictionary. Do you know what it said? The alleged power of seeing absent persons and objects.
I have the precious God-sent gift of second sight.
The press have gone now, sir. You don't have to keep up the pretense.
A fake, am I? You'll grovel and eat those words, Inspector. Will you agree to a test?
What sort of a test?
One that will provide irrefutable, unassailable proof of my genuine powers. One of your unsolved cases. You've been looking for a man called Raven.
Michael Raven? What about him?
You can't find him. But let me visit his home. Soak in the atmosphere, touch articles he has touched, speak to people he was close to. My gift will locate him, wherever he is. Is that a fair test? Or would you say I faked it? Killed him and buried him so that I could claim credit for finding his body.
His body? Is he dead then?
I don't know. I sense he is not far from here. But alive or dead, I can find him.
Surely we're capable of solving our own cases without calling in these cranks. What do you think, Sergeant?
Well, we did get Lord Crombie's stuff back through Marlowe, sir.
Not through clairvoyancy. He knew it was there. There's something very fishy about that robbery.
How do you mean?
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, we're busy, Jarvis. Can't it wait?
I don't think so, sir. Message for the inspector.
The hospital?
No, forensic. They've identified those fingerprints on his lordship's silver. They belong to Sammy Ladbury.
Sammy? Well, well, well. What's the name of the bloke he always works with?
Freddie Wood.
That's right. Wood and Ladbury. Right pair of tearaways. Put out a call. I want them brought in.
Already done, but I thought you'd like to know.
Well, well, well.
Should I know these two?
Not socially, sir. Pair of local thugs with form as long as your arm. Breaking, entering, car stealing, smash and grab. You name it, they've done it.
They fit Lord Crombie's description of the burglars, Inspector.
Yes.
So bang goes your fake robbery theory. Not that I had much faith in it from the start. And if the robbery was genuine, perhaps the clairvoyant is too. Put me in the picture about this chap Michael Raven.
Michael Raven, age 32, local successful businessman. He disappeared with over £15,000 in cash on the evening of Saturday, November the 3rd, 3 months ago. He owned a chain of discount record shops, and he had the knack of knowing just what the kids wanted to buy.
Yeah, screaming discordant rubbish.
But expensive rubbish, sir. And they paid hard cash for it. So his big problem was getting this money to the bank. Now, Raven took it upon himself to go around all his shops late Saturday evenings and collect the takings, which he deposited in a night safe. The day he disappeared, he was carrying a total of something over £15,000 from his four local shops.
£15,000? And this was just one day's takings?
Yes. The record business pays nearly as well as clairvoyancy. He called on the last shop a minute or so after 7:30. He hasn't been seen since.
And did the money reach the night safe?
No, no, like Raven, the money hasn't been seen either.
Presumably he was driving a car.
We found the car, abandoned near the railway station.
Oh.
No, it's not that easy, sir. The railway staff knew him. Now, they are positive he never caught a train that night. We combed the area, did a thorough search. Nothing.
Could he have just made off with the money?
Well, he could have done, but why stop at 15,000? He could have drawn a hell of a lot more than that from his bank. He was happily married. His business was booming, and as far as we know, he had no worries. So, why do a bunk?
It could be robbery with violence.
That's high on my list of possibilities, yes, sir.
When was he reported missing?
About 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
The next day? He never returned home that night, yet his so-called loving wife waits until the following day to report it to the police?
Oh, she didn't expect him home on the Saturday, sir. They've got this weekend cottage on the coast. After he'd banked the money, he'd arranged to drive straight down there. His wife was going to follow the next morning.
Why didn't they both go together?
The cottage had been shut up since they used it in the summer. It would have been cold and damp. He was going to clean it up, get the fire going, and have it ready for the Sunday.
Doesn't sound very convincing. Did you check it?
I check everything, sir.
Hmm.
It was true. Raven had told a couple of his shop managers he was going. Anyway, come Sunday, Mrs. Raven drives down, expecting to find a roaring fire, a swept floor, and a loving husband. She was disappointed on all counts. She phoned us immediately.
So you've been searching for him now for over 3 months. What have you turned up?
Nothing. Not a solitary clue, not a single lead. He's vanished.
So even if Marlowe fails, we'll be no worse off. If we could only keep it from the papers.
No chance of that, sir. He wants every last drop of publicity.
All right. We've got no choice. Phone him and say yes.
All right, I'm coming. Yes?
Hello, Mrs. Raven.
Inspector Ford. Any news? Have you found him?
Nothing fresh, I'm afraid. Do you think we could come in?
Yes, of course.
This is my colleague, Detective Sergeant Clark.
In here. Please, sit down. Can I get you some coffee?
No, thank you. You've heard nothing, I suppose, Mrs. Raven?
No.
I didn't think you'd keep it from us. Cigarette?
I don't smoke, thank you.
You used to?
Oh, I've given it up.
Good for you. I only wish someone else had. Cigarette, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
The ever-grabbing hand.
How is Mrs. Ford? Has she had her baby yet?
Oh, you remembered. No, not yet. I think it's hanging on until the weather improves.
But any minute now, actually.
I'm very happy for you.
Thanks. Mrs. Raven, do you happen to know a character called Marlowe? He's a clairvoyant.
A clairvoyant? No, should I?
Well, he thinks he'll be able to help us find your husband. But I should warn you, his methods are, well, they're hardly orthodox. We'd like to try an experiment.
I'll try anything to get Michael back. Anything.
In here, Mr. Marlowe.
Happy home. I sense it. Mrs. Raven?
Yes.
My name is Marlowe. Trust me. I can help you.
Will you get my husband back?
I can't promise that. He may not want to come back. He may not be able to come back. But wherever he is, I'll find him. Give me your hand.
My hand?
Trust me. Thank you. Contact is important. Yes, you're an excellent subject. You were very close to your husband. Very close. I sense you've been looking for something of his. Something small. Something to do with an object in this room. This very room.
Why, yes.
Please, don't say anything. Just concentrate. Small. A metal. A key.
What? That's amazing. I've been trying to open my husband's deed box. That box.
You're looking for the spare key. Your husband took the only other key with him, but he hid the spare for safety. Hid it in this room. That desk. He sellotaped it to the underside of that desk.
Oh, take a look, Mrs. Raven. No, you stay here, Mr. Marlowe.
If he sellotaped it here, he would have told...
It's there, isn't it?
Yes, it's here.
Have you ever been in this room before, Mr. Marlowe?
To plant the spare key under the desk, you mean? No, I haven't even been in this house before. Try it in the deed box, Mrs. Raven. It'll fit.
It does. I don't understand.
There is much in this life that we don't understand. You're an excellent subject. You and your husband were very close.
We are very close, Mr. Marlowe.
Anything in the deed box that might help us?
No, some old checkbooks and the weekly sales figures for the shops.
May I see? Turnover's down a bit.
It always is after Christmas.
Did you do a good Christmas trade?
Look for yourself. Would Michael have walked out with a mere 15,000 when we had that sort of money coming in? Doesn't make sense.
And you're sure there was no other woman?
As sure as any wife can be.
There was no other woman.
Well, how do you know?
I just know. Can we make a start?
What do you want me to do?
Nothing. Your presence is enough. Could we have the curtains drawn?
I'll do it.
I find that music helps. This is an excellent audio unit, Mrs. Raven. May I play a record?
Yes, of course.
Something to set the mood. This, I think.
Why did you choose that?
I felt it was right.
It's Michael's favorite. He was always playing it.
Good. You won't mind if I move this coffee table closer to the fire. Pull the chairs around it. Sit next to me, Mrs. Raven. The sergeant and the inspector there. Turn out the light, Sergeant.
I can't stand the dark.
It's necessary. There'll be sufficient light from the fire. You see? Please join hands.
This isn't a seance, is it?
Just gently touch the hand of the person next to you. Complete the chain. Good. Now we can relax and listen to the music. Michael's favorite music. Where are you, Michael?
Why is it so cold? I'm freezing.
Cold? were right in front of the fire.
Oh, tell him to stop. I'm frightened.
All right, Marlowe. Pack it in.
Anne, help me. Help me, Anne.
Oh, that's Michael's voice.
Anne.
Oh, answer him.
No! Why is it so cold in here?
The cold. They left me to die in the cold.
Die? What's he talking about? I don't want to listen. Michael isn't dead. He's alive. He's coming back to me. Get him out of my house. Get him out.
So she slung you out, Harry?
Well, let's just say we beat a hasty retreat. What have you got there?
Well, we dug up some gin on Marlowe. Old newspaper cuttings.
Show me. Now, have a look at this, Sergeant.
Professor Zodiac, Master of Mystery, Hippodrome Theatre.
Zodiac is Marlowe. He used to tour the halls with this mind-reading act.
A stage magician. I knew he was a phony.
And how did he find that key?
No, I don't know. I'll tell you something I do know, though. Did you notice Mrs. Raven was pregnant?
If she was, it didn't show.
Yeah, there's other ways of knowing. She stopped smoking. She used to smoke like a chimney. My wife was exactly the same.
Well, my father stopped smoking, Harry, but he's not pregnant.
Very hilarious, Sergeant. So, we're going corpse hunting.
Corpse hunting?
It's Marlowe's idea. We've borrowed Raven's car, and we're going to drive over the exact route Raven took on that last fatal night. According to Marlowe, this should let his psychic senses get a sniff of the buried body and lead us straight to it.
All this mumbo-jumbo, it's ludicrous. When is this mobile seance going to take place?
Later tonight, when I get back from the hospital.
Which way now, Mr. Marlowe?
I'm sorry, I'm just not getting anything. But perhaps I should be driving.
No, the sergeant drives. Now, where do you want him to go?
Oh, anywhere, I don't know.
Well, drive anywhere that takes your fancy, son. Our automatic pilot doesn't seem to be functioning.
I'm still not getting anything. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Okay, Sergeant. Let's go back.
Oh, no. No, where are we?
Burley Road.
It was near here. Very near here. Stop the car. Pull in over there.
Well?
This is where Raven parked the car. The last shop he called at. It's near here.
It's just round the corner.
Yes, he parked the car, and they were watching him. I must get into the driving seat.
All right, Sergeant.
It was dark. No moon. Just like tonight. Raven got in and closed the door. He put the bag with the money on the passenger seat and started the engine. So cold. So cold. That's the lot. Next stop the bank and then off to the cottage.
Is it safe to let him drive, sir?
No. Get ready to take over.
I sense danger. Behind me. No one's following. Look, the sooner I get this lot to the bank, the better. I must drive faster.
Careful, that light was red. Get ready to take over the wheel, Sergeant. I don't think he's with us. What is it?
There's someone crouching in the back of the car. Hiding. Something hard pressed to the back of my neck.
Don't turn around, Mr. Raven. It's a gun. And I'm very nervous. Pull over into the curb. Good.
If it's the money you wanted, it's there. Take it and go.
He's out cold. Mr. Marlowe?
Let me... Marlowe, wake up.
Oh, my head. Oh, my head. He hit my head.
No one hit you.
The blood. My head's matted with blood.
There's no blood. Now pull yourself together.
This is where it happened. This is where Raven died.
Here. You mean in the car?
They hit him too hard.
They?
Two men, youngish, long hair. One hiding in the back. The other waiting here where we've parked. They didn't mean to kill him. Only rob him. They hit him too hard. The air still vibrates and screams with their panic. Can't you feel it? They had to hide the body. They buried it.
Where?
Let me drive. I'll show you.
Who is it?
Detective Inspector Ford, Mrs. Raven.
Sorry, I was in bed.
It's us who should be apologizing, Mrs. Raven. May we come in?
Yes, of course.
Do you recognize this, Mrs. Raven? No, please, don't take it out of the polythene bag.
It's my husband's wristwatch.
And this?
It's his signet ring.
Are you absolutely sure?
Oh, positive. I bought that ring myself for his birthday. Where did you get it?
Mrs. Raven, I'm afraid I've got some very bad news. In the meantime, I'm not prepared to confirm, deny, nor comment upon any statement made by Mr. Marlowe. Goodbye.
A preliminary report on the body from the path lab, sir.
Yes?
The body's in such a shocking state, they're having to submerge it in disinfectant before they can get down to a detailed examination.
Oh, you've just put me off my ham sandwich. Right, how did he die?
A probable cause, heavy blow to base of skull. They believe he was already dead when he was taken to the woods.
Right, that's all, Sergeant.
Sir.
Steady.
Sorry, sir.
Well, is it murder?
Seems like it. The base of his skull's smashed in.
And they're missing money?
Still missing. Not that I expected to find it buried with him.
Oh, quite. A pity it had to be through that blasted clairvoyant. I understand he's given us a description of the killers.
The alleged killer, yes, sir.
Hmm. Has it struck you that the description could fit the two men who robbed and coshed Lord Crombie?
It did strike me, sir, yes. We are still looking for Ladbury and Wood. We're also checking Marlowe's alibi for the night Raven went missing.
Marlowe? You suspect him?
I can't think of a person more likely to know where a body is buried than the person who buried it in the first place.
Good point. If we could only discredit
him... No, I'm not interested in discrediting him, sir. Only with finding Raven's killer. Or killers.
A teleprinter message from Carlisle Police, sir. They confirm Marlowe's alibi. On the night Raven disappeared, Marlowe was addressing a spiritualist meeting in Carlisle.
Damn!
Concentrate on finding Wood and Ladbury, Inspector. They're your men. Now, I want this one tied up quickly. And keep me informed. I'm off to bed. Good night.
Good night, sir. Nice for some.
You didn't really suspect Marlowe, did you, Inspector? He had no motive.
£15,000 in hard cash and bags of free publicity. That's enough motive to be going on with.
Yeah, tidings of joy, Harry. Guess who we've just picked up trying to break into Harrison's warehouse?
The superintendent.
No. Samuel Ladbury and Freddie Wood. They're bringing them in now.
God bless the uniform branch. They are some use after all. Or when they get here, bung them into separate interview rooms. I want to question them personally.
Right.
Oh, and get Lord Crombie down here. Let's see if he can identify them.
It's a bit late now, Harry. He'll be in bed.
Not if you keep ringing and ringing and ringing, he won't be. Hello, Sammy. Treating you all right, are we?
What am I in here for, huh?
Oh, didn't the cop who caught you breaking into Harrison's warehouse explain? It's very lax of him.
Breaking in? Oh, do me a favour, Inspector. We was taking a shortcut.
Over a 12-foot wall? After sawing the lock off an iron gate?
Well, the shortest way is not always the easiest way, Mr. Ford.
I don't think we'll have too much trouble getting you for this job, Sammy. But I'm more interested in what you were up to 3 months ago.
3 months ago? Mm. What did you say? Ah, well, I was saving up for Christmas, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, I wish I could joke about it, Sammy. I've just dug up Michael Raven's body. It wasn't a pleasant sight.
Raven? Oh, yeah, the record shop king. He's dead, is he? Where'd you find him?
Where you left him, Sammy.
Oh, come off it, Mr. Ford. There's no way you can pin that on Freddie and me. Killing's not our style.
Ah, we don't think you meant to kill him. What did you do with the £15,000?
What 15,000? Look, if I had 15,000 quid, do you think I'd be tearing me only suit to shreds on a barbed wire around Harrison's warehouse?
He was killed on the evening of Saturday, November the 3rd. You haven't got much of an alibi for that day, have you, Sammy?
Well, I never thought I was going to need one.
Well, where were you?
I've already told you, Sergeant.
Well, now you can tell me. Damn. Yes?
Inspector, got a minute.
Don't go away, Sammy. Ah. Yes?
We can't get through to Lord Crombie. We don't know his number and he's extra-rectory. Shall I send someone over?
No. Leave it till the morning.
How's it going?
Very slowly.
I'll leave you to it.
Sorry about that, Sammy. You were telling me what you did on that Saturday evening.
Well, it is a bit difficult without my engagement book, you know. But as far as I can remember, I was out with Freddie. We drifted in and out a couple of pubs. Then we went to a disco, you know, Tiffany's in the High Street.
What happened at the disco?
Usual thing, minuets, Viennese waltzes, we danced, we dined, we sipped vintage wine and we picked up a couple of birds.
Names?
Joyce and Janet.
Second names?
We didn't ask. We wasn't intending to marry them, was we? We bought them a few drinks and we left the disco with them.
What time?
Well, just after 11. We drove them in the car to a nice secluded spot where they expressed their gratitude in a tangible way for our hospitality. This took us up to about midnight.
Where did they live?
No idea.
Oh, didn't you drive them home?
Well, what for? We dropped them off at a bus stop. With luck, they'd have caught the last bus.
And hard luck if they didn't, eh?
Yeah.
All right, let's move a bit more up to date. What do you know about the robbery at Lord Crombie's?
Nothing.
Then how did your dirty little fingerprints get all over his shiny silverware?
Well, give me time. I'll think of a reason.
And not only do we have your prints, Sammy, I'll introduce you to his lordship tomorrow. He can identify you. Why did you bury the loot?
Bury it? Burying bodies? Burying loot? What the hell are you on about, huh?
Let's hear your version first, Sammy.
All right. Well, it all went wrong, didn't it? We knew the servants were away and we thought it was going to be easy. Well, there was no trouble getting in. Didn't even have to cut the burglar alarm. And then ham-fisted Freddy elbows this glass decanter over. The next thing we know, this character's firing bullets at us.
Now, bullets, Sammy. It was a shotgun.
Well, I'm not an expert in these things, Inspector. I hear a bang, I run.
Who cost him, you or Freddy?
No one cost him. We had the loot in a sack. I chucked it at him.
Well, it acted like a cosh. He was out cold.
I wouldn't know. I was too busy running.
Of course you knew. You saw him when you came back for the loot.
We did not come back. We left empty-handed. We didn't stop running till we reached the car, right?
You went back for it, then you hid it, you buried it near Doggett's farm.
But what is this obsession about burying things? If we pinch anything, we sell it. We don't go to a flaming funeral.
Then how did it get to Doggett's farm, Sammy? It couldn't walk.
It never got to Doggett's farm.
Don't you read the papers? Take a look at that.
Clairvoyant leads police to buried treasure. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Somebody's having you on, Mr. Ford. Look, we belted him with it and we ran. If you want to know what happened to it from there, you better ask his lordship.
Do you know, Sammy, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do.
In here.
Thank you, sir. I hope I haven't got you out of bed, my lord.
Of course you've got me out of bed, man. It's 7:40 in the morning. I hope it's important.
I hope so too, sir. Do you know a man called Michael Raven?
Raven? Isn't he the missing businessman? Well, I know of him, of course, but I never met him.
Not one for pop records, then, sir. What about his wife, Mrs. Anne Raven? Do you know her?
No. Should I?
Well, she's worth knowing, sir. It's just that we found Raven's body last night. Our mutual friend, the clairvoyant, led us straight to it.
This chap, Marlowe?
The same. Silverware, bodies. It's all grist to his mill. How did we ever manage to find things without him? Oh, I've got some good news. We've caught the two men who nicked your valuables.
Oh, that's splendid.
Mm.
You're sure they're the ones?
Oh, I will be when you've identified them.
Well, I couldn't identify them, not for certain. Just a fleeting impression as they were running away.
But when they were running away, you were unconscious after being coshed. Don't fret yourself, sir. We don't really need your identification. They've kindly obliged us by confessing.
Well, I've got the stuff back, so I can afford to be generous. I won't press charges.
No, you're too forgiving, my lord. It does you credit. Why did you tell us they ran off with the stuff, sir? They left it behind.
Well, if they say that, they're lying.
Someone's lying. How did it get to Doggett's farm?
They took it there.
No, sir. You did. And then you told Marlowe exactly where you'd hidden it, so he could do his act and pretend to locate it for us.
Well, why on earth should I do that? I don't know Marlowe. Never even met him.
No. Leave it, sir. It'll be for me. Ford. Oh, good morning, Mr. Marlowe. Were your ears burning? Yes, I do want to speak to you. There's been an important development. Is the officer who asked you to phone me handy? You will put him on, please. Constable Kilburn, take Marlowe to the station and hold him until I arrive. And if he doesn't want to go voluntarily, take him anyway. Sorry about that, sir. Strange. You solve one mystery, you get another.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got an ex-directory telephone number. Even the police don't know what it is. And yet, when I ask Marlowe to phone me here, he dials it without hesitation. An example of second sight, do you think?
There are ways of obtaining ex-directory numbers, you know.
Yes, sir. And the easiest way is for the person whose number it is to tell it to you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the robbery. Or after the robbery. You hide the loot. Tip off Marlowe so he can find it for us. You give us a genuine description of the actual crooks, never dreaming they left fingerprints behind so that we could trace them and get their version of what happened.
Are you accusing me of being involved in a conspiracy to deceive the police?
I couldn't have put it better myself, sir.
Are you saying I wasn't robbed? That I faked it?
Oh, no, sir. The robbery was genuine, I grant you that. But you never anticipated getting robbed when you made your original plan with Marlowe. But when it happened, you decided to use it as an added attraction. So the phony Marlowe could appear even more genuine.
And what was my original plan with Marlowe?
The plan was for Marlowe to reveal to us where you had buried Raven's body. That'll still be for me, sir. Ford. Hello, Mrs. Raven. So kind of you to ring. Is my sergeant with you? Would you mind asking him to drive you to Lord Crombie's place right away, please? Yes, it's very urgent. Someone else who knows your phone number, sir. And I don't think we can accept second sight in her case. In here, Mrs. Raven. Although I expect you know the way.
Why, no, I've never been here before.
Oh, then you probably haven't met Lord Crombie.
Good morning, Lord Crombie.
You fool.
I beg your pardon.
Why did you phone here?
But the inspector asked me to... Oh.
Yeah. Yes. I'm afraid I was being rather underhand and devious, Mrs. Raven. But don't kick yourself too much. Even without the phone call, I had a pretty shrewd idea that you and his lordship knew each other. He was involved in a fiddle with Marlowe. You were involved in a fiddle with Marlowe. So it was an odds-on chance you were all involved with each other.
What fiddle with Marlowe?
Well, he cleverly located a key you claimed you hadn't been able to find since your husband went missing 3 months ago.
So?
When you unlocked the deed box, it contained sales figures for your shops up to last week. So you'd had the key. It wasn't lost, only hidden. You hid it so Marlowe could find it.
Well, why would I do that?
Well, you wanted Marlowe to impress us with his supposed powers so he wouldn't be too sceptical when he led us to the body. The whole point of the exercise. But Marlowe has to be told before he can find anything. Which brings us to the vital question. How did you know where your husband was buried?
All right, Inspector.
No, Charles, no.
We've no option. We should have gone to the police in the first place. Inspector, Anne, Mrs. Raven and I are lovers.
Congratulations. What happened about the unfortunate, inconvenient husband?
He was supposed to be going straight to the cottage. We didn't expect him back, so Charles spent the night with me.
But your husband did come back?
Yes.
And caught the two of you in bed?
Yes.
Went berserk.
And so would I.
He tried to kill me. I swear, Inspector, he was trying to kill me. We struggled. He slipped and fell. He must have cracked his head on the stone curb by the fireplace. At first, we thought he was only unconscious.
Yes.
But he was dead.
We didn't know what to do.
So you took him away and buried him?
Yes. No one knew he'd come back. The next morning, I drove to the cottage as if I expected him to be there. And that's when I phoned the police.
Yeah. Well, you hid him very well. So well, we'd never have found him. So why didn't you let him stay hidden? Why did he have to be found?
Last week I learned I was pregnant.
Ah! The trained eye, you see, Sergeant.
Sir?
Who was the father?
I was.
Still, your husband had only been missing for 3 months, Mrs. Raven. You could easily have passed the kid off as his.
I didn't want to pass it off as his. It's Lord Crombie's child. If it's a boy, it'll be his legitimate heir.
Only if you were married.
We want to get married.
I see. You couldn't marry until your husband was officially declared dead. And the body was too well hidden to be found accidentally.
We'd read about clairvoyance, finding bodies for the police. We took a chance and asked Marlowe if he'd been prepared to help.
What was his price?
£500. And the publicity.
Yes, he likes publicity. He's going to get a lot more. But not the sort he's after.
So you're here at last, Inspector. Why am I being held?
You're the clairvoyant, Mr. Marlowe. You tell me. Shall I give you a little clue? Your starter for 10. Lord Crombie and Mrs. Raven have made statements. They've told us everything.
I was only trying to help them.
Of course you were. All you wanted was £500, the publicity, and the chance to pretend you were genuine and not a cheap little fake.
I am genuine. I found that girl. I told them where to look. I have the gift. The genuine gift. It's just that people expect me to turn it on to order. I can't do that. Sometimes I have to pretend. I have to use trickery.
Sometimes. Always.
You think so? You really think so? Bad news. There'll be bad news from the hospital, Inspector.
What?
Bad news. Very bad news.
Don't try to frighten me with your phony magic act, Marlowe. It won't work.
That's the hospital on the phone now. The ward sister. Come on. If I'm a cheap little fake, what are you waiting for? Why don't you answer it?
Clark! Sir? Answer that bloody phone!
Yes, sir. Yes? It's the hospital.
I told you, Inspector.
I see. Yes. I'll tell him.
Well?
Our boy, sir. Mother and baby doing well.
You little swine.
I'm genuine, Inspector. But sometimes I have to pretend.
Get him out of here. Get him out!
In Second Sight, the cast was Detective Inspector Ford, Michael Burlington, Marlowe, Lee Harrington, Police Superintendent Skinner, John Forbes Robertson, and Police Sergeant Jarvis, Malcolm Hayes. Detective Sergeant Clark, Sam Daster, Lord Crombie, Nicholas Courtney, Anne Raven, Jenny Lee, and Sammy Ladbury, Sean Probert. Second Sight was written by R.D. Wingfield and directed by Jerry Jones.